Hello and welcome to EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. I'm your host, Prudence Robertson.
Choice covers more than just the choice to an abortion.
A right to choose life. A state lawmaker proposes a bill to protect women from being coerced into having an abortion. And she shares her own experience of once being pressured by a doctor to end her baby's life.
We help them in any way we can.
Helping women in crisis pregnancies. We bring you the witness of one sister who's on the front lines of fostering a pro-life culture. And healthcare the Catholic way. How Catholic patients can find doctors who will uphold their deeply held beliefs.
Has expressed her desire to not have an abortion, and she is being pressured into having an abortion.
Legal protection to choose life. A state representative in Kansas has introduced a bill that would make it a felony in the state to coerce a woman into ending her baby's life against her will. Welcome to EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. Definitions of coercion in Kansas Bill 2813 include physical restraint, threats of physical harm, deportation, arrests, termination of employment, and financial harm, to name a few. Penalties could include fines from $500 to $5,000 or jail time for up to a year, depending on a court's decision. The bill is receiving support from both sides of the aisle in Kansas, although some people claim the bill is an attack on so-called reproductive rights. The proposed legislation is personal for Representative Rebecca Schmoy. She says she wouldn't have her now 21-year-old son if she had given in to her doctor's demands, who said she and her baby would die if she tried to give birth.
I was told that when I found out that I was pregnant, that I needed to schedule an abortion before I left his office. It was an hour of being told that I was selfish because I was making my parents pick out my casket. I asked repeatedly if we could listen for a heartbeat, and I was told no.
Rep. Schmoy says she went for a second opinion from another doctor who informed her that she and her baby were perfectly healthy. That doctor also let her hear her son's heartbeat. We'll keep track of this bill and keep you posted on its progress. A rising pop star recently distributed abortifacient pills at her sold-out concert, but her team is now backpedaling on handing out the drugs like candy. Singer Olivia Rodrigo distributed condoms and Plan B during her Guts World Tour when she was in St. Louis, Missouri. Plan B, also known as the morning after pill, serves as a contraceptive and an abortifacient. Her management team decided to stop the distribution of these because, quote, children are present at the concerts. Rodrigo initially announced she was partnering with the National Network of Abortion Funds for her tours to, quote, support all women seeking reproductive health freedom. We continue to follow a major case in front of the U.S. Supreme Court that will be argued next week. The case focuses on the availability of mifepristone, which is one of two pills used in chemical abortions that starves children to death in utero. The drug accounts for the majority of abortions in the country. The lawsuit issued by the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine claims the Food and Drug Administration ignored its own research and testing standards in the approval of mifepristone. President Biden's Justice Department, representing the FDA, says the drug is safe. We'll have analysis on oral argument of this case here on Pro-Life Weekly on April 4th. How can Catholics ensure that they are bringing their family to a doctor who won't push dangerous, life-altering practices on their kids? The group My Catholic Doctor is aiming to provide that pro-life, pro-family care. Their database can connect you with Catholic doctors covering pretty much any specialty you can think of, as well as basic primary care. We recently spoke with their founder, Kathleen Berkelman. Dr. Kathleen, thank you for joining me. Start by just telling me a little bit about My Catholic Doctor, kind of the reason that you were inspired to create it.
You know, my story is the same as every other faithful founder. If you look at the founders of all the orders, there's a common story. There's a clear calling. There's your fiat, your yes, and it's followed by a tremendous challenge, and our story is no different. I was 15 years as a faculty physician at Washington University in St. Louis in pediatrics, and in that role, I really just felt called more and more to be more intentional in our healing ministry with the faith, to treat the whole human person and to practice faithfully Catholic healthcare.
That's wonderful. And, you know, a lot of people ask, why do we need to have an organization dedicated to pro-life doctors? Why do we need this focus on pro-life healthcare? What would be your response to that in the world that we're living in today?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked, because there's this common theme that people think pro-life healthcare is just about abortion, contraception, euthanasia, but actually all of healthcare needs to be pro-life, because we recognize the whole human person and the unique human dignity of each person made in the image and likeness of God. That's pro-life healthcare. And isn't that who you want your doctor to be, even if you just have a sinus infection, right? And there's a why. In secular healthcare, there's a lie that the secular world wants you to believe, which is that secular healthcare is inclusive of everyone, but it's just not inclusive of our Catholic values, right? You're actually taught that you should leave your values at the door. I mean, that's what you're taught in health education classes. And that's impossible to do if you answer the call of Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 10, verse 9, when Jesus said, "Cure the sick who are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you." Right? So, and that's our mission statement at My Catholic Doctor. And Jesus Christ gave us two commands in one sentence, and that wasn't a mistake, right? So if you're in healthcare, anybody in healthcare is called by Jesus Christ to do two things: to cure the sick and proclaim the kingdom, to help that person in front of them that they're treating use the suffering of their illness to grow in holiness and to be a part of the kingdom of God. That's what we're called by Christ to do.
Amen, amen. And you have a sprawling database of doctors, right, who are now a part of the My Catholic Doctor Network, and they cover pretty much everything from start to finish, right? Talk to me a little bit about the care that you make sure these doctors are able to provide.
Right, so we're a full-service healthcare organization. We provide all of primary care and specialty care. We have dermatology, endocrinology, rheumatology, and then we also provide all of our Catholic specialty services, right? So Catholic healthcare gets a bad rap for what we don't do, right?
Yeah.
We don't do abortion, we don't do contraception, we don't do euthanasia, right? But actually, for every no, there's a yes, and it's a better yes, and we offer all of those better yeses. For abortion, we offer abortion pill reversal services. You can actually stop that abortion. Most abortions are pharmaceutical, and we can stop that, right? For euthanasia, we absolutely offer end-of-life care consistent with Catholic teaching, respecting the human dignity of each person with adequate pain control, right? For contraception, we offer natural family planning in 7 methods billed to your insurance. So natural family planning is covered by the Affordable Care Act, pre-deductible and without copay. You should never have to pay for your natural family planning. There's unlimited number of visits in many methods.
It's
and
good to know.
We are here to help you with, no matter what your medical condition is, whatever your concerns are about fertility awareness and natural family planning, there's an answer.
Yeah. Dr. Kathleen, I'm curious, because you lived here in St. Louis for so long, practiced medicine here. There's an abortion mega facility on the state line of Illinois and Missouri. You know, even with Roe versus Wade overturned, the pro-abortion movement has not stopped their mission of reaching women and ending the lives of unborn children. As a doctor, what do you envision the future is for medical professionals who are pro-life? What would your advice be to them in the current climate?
Well, it's kind of two separate questions. There's the specific abortion issue, and I think the number one treatment that Catholic healthcare needs to stand up for is abortion pill reversal. And it's shocking to me the women that come to us, even without, we don't specifically advertise our abortion pill reversal services, but they still call us because we have Catholic in our name. And it blows my mind, because these are women that have taken all the steps to get the abortion pills, right? And they're pro-choice women in terrible social situations. And they still call us, right? Like that's the natural law written on their heart. I have no other explanation. And that's the good news. God is still in the hearts of all these people. They're all made in the image and likeness of God, right? And they know the natural law, and we're here to meet them there in that suffering. And then that's it. Pro-life healthcare is for all people, from birth to grave, from natural conception to natural death. And every episode of illness, you know, the Lord has allowed this universal human experience of suffering through illness. Yeah. No matter how rich we are, no matter how poor we are, wherever we live, we all experience illness, right? And it's a universal experience of human suffering. And that's why the church has been in healthcare for 2,000 years, started by Jesus Christ. And we're here to continue that 2,000-year tradition.
That role of the church in the healthcare sphere, could you just speak to the importance of it now, especially as women who need help flock to the church, flock to Catholic hospitals, places like My Catholic Doctor, in the face of the overturning of Roe? Could you just speak to that a bit?
Yeah, what's under discussed is the financial reasons why our Catholic Church in America is largely getting out of Catholic health care, right? We have a very frail Catholic health system in the United States, and there's social issues that have implicated in that, and there's major financial issues, especially the payers. And I think the movement needs to be for health equity and health care, especially from a Catholic perspective. There's so much movement on health equity for so many different demographic groups, and I really don't know any payer or health system standing up for health equity for culturally sensitive care from a Catholic perspective, and I think that's how we're going to get the payers to reimburse appropriately for our care.
I appreciate that insight and your expertise on all of this. Thank you so much for joining me, Dr. Kathleen.
Thank you for your faithfulness.
You can find out more by visiting the comprehensive online database, mycatholicdoctor.com. World Down Syndrome Day on Thursday, March 21st, is a day to recognize those with Down syndrome for their contributions to the world and raise awareness of the challenges they face in society. Those challenges start right in the womb. According to the National Institutes of Health, some 67 to 85% of pregnancies with a diagnosis of Down syndrome are terminated. These startling numbers effectively reflect eugenics based on genetic anomalies. It's important to note that even in states where there are abortion bans, there are exceptions for genetic anomalies. Coming up, the story of a religious sister who has dedicated her life to spiritual motherhood. Plus, a mom of four and renowned Catholic speaker shares how she has made sense of suffering. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Pro-Life Weekly. I'm Prudence Robertson. Caring for a newborn is no easy task, especially if your pregnancy is unplanned and you lack a support system. But as Sister Teresa Adeboye, who helps run St. Clair's Home in Greenville, South Carolina, explains, structure, love, and prayer can help new mothers be confident in their futures. Take a look. So you have been here since the beginnings of St. Clair's Home. You lived here with the women for some time. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about what it's like to have seen the home grow into what it is.
It has been a journey because we started with one, and then later we had one, and then now we have 8 women in the home. Mm. It has been a lot of growth in terms of, first of all, the statistics, the number, and then secondly, the spiritual growth of the women. Mm. I mean, it was a struggle when we came in. Some of them don't even know who God was or who he is, but at least some of them have begun to realize based on what they see. They see love around, which we try to display where we can.
Talk to me a little bit more about the impact that you have on these women, being a religious sister, spending time with them, and the impact that they've had on your life.
We always pray before we eat. Plus, we have a family dinner, which is at 6:30 p.m., and we encourage everyone to be there because we say it's a family dinner. Mm-hmm. And when we are there, no phones. We are trying to instill some discipline because when you look around, everybody's on the phone.
Yeah.
You know. So we said, no phone, just come, let's talk as family, share your day. Mm. And before we do that, we pray together because we believe all that we have is given to us by God. So we pray before meal and then after meal to thank God for the meal because there are many out there who don't have to eat.
Right.
And apart from that, we always tell them as much as we can that love is all we need. And love is not just the word love, but in practice. How to let go, forgive, and pray. Because prayer, we believe, is the master key to every sort of problem they have. We all have issues. We have problems. We struggle with a lot of things. But we tell them the only thing you have, the only key to open or to solve that problem is God. And then they've impacted my life personally with the struggles they go through. Because sometimes I imagine if I were in their shoes, if I would have survived what they are going through. So they like show to me that life is a struggle, and then with perseverance, with hope, that we can, you know, go through this, and then there's always a light at the end of the tunnel.
St. Michael is the patron of your order. Talk to me about St. Michael's hand on this home. Obviously, it's a place that needs to be enveloped in protection.
St. Michael the Archangel is the pillar of this home, in the sense that, of course, we know him to be the warrior, you know, that, you know, fought the evil one, the devil, and cast him to hell. So with that strength and that power, because where we are here, St. Clair's home, is more than a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle, because we're trying to win these women from the evil one. When I say evil one, is the traumas, the hardships, a lot of evil that have happened to them in the past. The only person we believe could help them go through this is St. Michael. You know, he fights for us, especially the battles we don't see. But there are some battles even within, making decisions. Because sometimes there's that struggle of making the right or the wrong decision. So he's the one that is always fighting for us and inspiring us. The successes we have in this home, I would say, should be ascribed to St. Michael, because he's the one fighting for us.
It's beautiful. Sister, is there anything else that you want to share about being in this home and the work that you all do?
I'm the program manager of this home. It's what I do on a daily basis is to make sure this home is functional. First of all, education-wise, when these moms come in, they don't just come in and stay and eat and wake up, no. We make sure they have classes. These classes will help them, you know, become self-sufficient in the future to learn some skills, because the mission of this home is to help these women become self-dependent. So this, they gain skills, knowledge from these classes. As you could see, there's a class going on now, Faith and Finance.
Yes.
We also have a birthing class, what a mom should be expecting when she wants to have a baby.
Sure.
We also have a class about nutrition, because most often what you take in, you know, nourishes the body, or the other way around. We also have classes on a theology of the body. We help them to realize as much as we can that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Well, you're certainly a mother to these moms, a motherly figure for them, and we're so grateful to have heard your story and your perspective of living here. Thank you, Sister Teresa.
Thank you.
It was an honor to visit Sister Teresa and the women of St. Clair's home earlier this year. You can learn more about their mission of love and support for pregnant women at stclairshomesc.org. Sacrifice is often part of a parent's role, but our faith shows us that sacrifice and suffering have a higher meaning. I recently sat down with Cameron Frad, who had some beautiful insights to share on how to make sense of hardship and turn it into hope for our families. Take a look. Cameron, thanks for being here with me.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. So talk to me about what you've been hearing from young people here. What's on their hearts and minds as we walk into this new year?
They are beautiful and hungry and want realness, like, especially the women.
Yeah.
Like, that's my heart. Like, I love these girls, and so many girls are just, yeah, wanting truth. Like, thanking me for saying things that I thought would offend them, but they're like, no, I needed to hear that. Thank you so much. And they want to be real, and they want to be raw, and they want to be authentic,
yeah.
You know, and they desire that. And I think, I don't know, like this particular, I don't know, these girls are just beautiful, and they They know counterfeit, they know fake, they don't want it. They want real, and they want to be challenged.
And on your podcast, you really cover that. Talk to me about some of the issues that you've recently been covering where it's hard for women to be real, you know, where they're encountering that fakeness and they want out.
I think one of the things is a lot of people are struggling with mental illness, physical illness, and just suffering. And I think that we live in a society that's like suffering's bad. Like if you have a headache, take a pill. If your whole body hurts or if you suffer from this, that, or the other, like euthanasia is a great option. Like there's no point in suffering. And we as Catholics are so blessed to know like redemptive suffering.
Yeah.
And Christ gives us the grace to go alongside him on the road to Calvary. And we don't have to want it, but by accepting it and offering it up and knowing that it's not because I'm weak that I can't handle it. Like in our weakness, he is stronger. And it's okay to not have it all together. It's okay to be anxious or whatever it is. Like you, the safe space is adoration. Like get there, sit in his presence and just say, Jesus, this is it. This is what I'm struggling with. This is who I think my identity is, and giving it over to him and asking for the grace to just be real and letting him love you in that.
Speaking of redemptive suffering, a lot of your listeners know you struggle with some chronic conditions. You've suffered through that. And as I was thinking about what I wanted to talk to you about, I couldn't help but reflect on Mary and how her calling Christ into to perform that first miracle at the wedding of Cana. She knew that began a road of suffering for her, where she would watch her Christ die on the cross, her son die on the cross. Could you just speak to that a little bit and how we can draw on that in our own suffering?
Our Lady's strength through it is massive. She knew in her fiat when she said, yes, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done according to me. She knew in that she was saying, this is my body given up for you. I'm dying to myself. I will take on being pregnant with the God of the universe, right? And then he was so vulnerable. She fed him. She clothed him. She took care of him.
Yeah.
And first of all, that's just so humbling, right? Like it's humbling being a mom and knowing that this baby's relying on me, let alone being like, this baby's actually God of the whole universe. Like she was able to protect him until then, I think. And that's when she was like, okay, I don't want these people to suffer. I see how this wedding's going to go downhill. Jesus, it's okay. Like, I think Jesus was probably ready sooner than that to start his ministry, but he was waiting. He loves his mom. He's a mama's boy, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, whenever you're... And so when she said that, she's like, all right. Like, he's like, yes, I will do it. And it was her, I think, saying like, okay, I'm ready now. You can start your ministry now. Not that he was waiting for permission, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like in inviting him into that. And we as women, like as the feminine genius, you know, like we have that, we invite people to vulnerability. We invite people to sharing our hearts and having a depth. And and she's amazing and perfect in our Heavenly Mama. And so many times I ask her to just wrap her immaculate mantle around me, protect me, my children, those that I love, and just that I could have her strength.
Yeah, amen. A perfect example. Speak to me a little bit about how you think mothers like yourself can inspire a culture of life in young people and all people, really.
Yeah, I think just being a mom and being okay with that. Recently, we had a 19-year-old who had an abortion scheduled. The abortion was scheduled for Thursday. We met her on Monday. And on Wednesday, we got her in with a really good doctor. She also had a 9-month-old, and we also had a baby. And my 11-year-old and I were in the waiting room for about 2 hours while this doctor met with her and just heard her story and just loved her. And she, when she told me that she had an abortion scheduled, she was so shameful. And I told her, I was like, you're a good mom. I see that. She has a 9-month-old as well. So
right.
Everyone can pray for her.
Yeah,
she's still pregnant, but she went past her abortion date. She's like, I'm just stuck. I have no other options. And I told her and I looked her in the eye and I was like, you have options. We will help you. We will love you. We will help you through this. And it doesn't matter if you want to keep this baby or not. Like just this will change who you are. So just don't do it. Let's just get you past it. And we're continuing to walk with her and love her. And I think just being a mom and witnessing and affirming young girls that they have other choices.
Yeah. Well, Cameron, thank you so much for sitting down with me, and God bless you and your work.
You're welcome.
Before the end of this week's program, I have some personal news to share. This is my last night as your host of EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. I have sweet memories of praying the rosary with Mother Angelica on EWTN as a young girl. To have anchored this program on her network has been quite the adventure. I want to thank the Pro-Life Weekly crew for placing their faith in me these past 2 years and for supporting me behind the scenes every step of the way. I will miss you. I've been blessed to enter into your homes each week and share important news in the fight for life, from celebrating the overturn of Roe v. Wade to giving you a peek into the daily lives and mission of pro-life Americans throughout the country. It has all been a tremendous honor. I thank you, our viewers, from the bottom of my heart for tuning in. You are the people who are restoring truth and love in our culture today, so keep up the fight. I'm excited to share about my new endeavor soon. Be sure to look out for an update from me on Twitter and Instagram at Prue's Pulse in the coming days. And we want to remind you about a massive Catholic event, the National Eucharistic Congress, this July. You can get discounted tickets through EWTN. Log on to EWTN.com/Eucharist to sign up. That does it for this edition of EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. I'm Prudence Robertson. Don't forget to like and follow us on social media, including X, Facebook, and Instagram. And sign up for the Pro-Life Pulse newsletter at EWTN.com/Pro-Life. Remember, life is a gift. Your life is a gift. And for the last time, God bless you.